Are you tired, frustrated, and feel stuck? Are you a high-performing business professional, entrepreneur, and you are not getting the results you desire, or you hit a ceiling? Have you been around the block and tried many modalities? You are in the right place. The answer, my friend, is in the little-known brain-soul connection. Welcome to the Brain-Soul Success Show, where we learn, explore, and create your dream life. Your host, Louise Swartzwalter, created a five-part mind-body-soul methodology that clears the subconscious blocks to success. You are a soul with a body, not a body with a soul. The seed of all you need is already within you. From engaging transformational interviews, brain-soul success stories, and secrets shared by health, wellness, and spiritual experts, you will reconnect, revitalize, and transform your powerful life. It's time for you.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Brain Soul Success Show, where we take back our power. Wow, you're in for a real treat today. I have with me my friend April Chavis, and she really did take back her power. She has a great, great story I want to share with you today, and she will too, and dive into this. But from a very young age, April turned her lupus diagnosis into a quest for holistic wellness. And she blended the spiritual, the intellectual, the physical aspects of healing. So we're very much aligned. You know, I did the same thing. Her journey, though, through law enforcement to public speaking and performance coaching is evidence of her investigative power, right? Of lifestyle choices and well-being. Today, she inspires others on her own talk show, the Wellness Driven Life Show. And we did one of those shows with you. It was absolutely awesome. So again, I thank you. Thank you, April. And her work at Driven Living LLC. Offstage, she enjoys exploring life with her husband, Manny, and their children. She's really a driving force behind this amazing podcast that she put together and her coaching company. So I just really want to welcome you, April. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, Louise, it's such a pleasure to be here with you today. Thank you so much for that awesome introduction. It always makes me feel like, like I'm taking my power back, you know? So thank you so much. It is truly an honor to be here and share this time with you on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, you know, we're very much aligned. I know you have a health journey, only it started when you were very young. So you really did have to take back your power as a little one. Tell us a little bit about that.
I think the beauty in that is because I was so young, as a child, we have a different mentality in how we show up in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And we're in this beautiful time of our life phase that we don't know anything other than, I think, you know, when we see sick mm-hmm. children, we see cancer patient children, they have the most, they're so brave, right? And they just know how to deal with things and get through things. And they may be scared, but they show it in a different light. And I think because I was so young and I had all of these health concerns, I looked at things a little bit differently. I just wanted to be a normal average child, right? I just wanted to yes. do the things that my peers were doing. I wanted to play sports. I wanted to be engaged. And it wasn't always the case. I wasn't able to do that. So I had to live life a little differently. And I compare that and really came to the realization of how I was looking at things differently when I was a teenager. My mom put me in a support group, and it was for people with lupus. Mm-hmm. And at the time, and even currently, I think the statistics are changing a little bit, but not really. Lupus is primarily diagnosed with people in their 30s and older. And mm-hmm. so for me to step into the support group where I was the youngest, I felt really out of touch, out of sync. This was not the place I was supposed to be in. And not only that, but all of the stories and the things that I was hearing in that group were stories of my life is over and everything is awful and I can't and that and this and that. Mm-hmm. And so it it really moved me and inspired me to not want to be that. And so my life progressed into always wanting to show up to the world where I was not that, where I didn't allow my disease to define me. I wanted to prove to myself in the world that I was stronger.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a beautiful, I mean, that's beautiful. That's where you learned your mindset stuff in the very beginning. You were like 14, right?
I was diagnosed at 15. Okay. I had symptoms since birth, and a lot of the medical issues started showing up between 8 and 10 years old. I don't recall exactly, but I had blood transfusions. They thought I had leukemia. And so I went through a series of tests, and there was always weekly visits to Children's Hospital. I grew up in Colorado, so made trips to Denver. What was fun about that was that they had Pac-Man in the office. And we used to call the person who took the blood the vampire. And so, they try to make it fun for kids. And as I got older, I was always kind of saddened by that. I'm like, why can't I be treated like a kid anymore? You know, where you just feel like you get a little bit more special treatment, or people smile more, or, they're more compassionate towards the child. Whereas because I've experienced being in and out of hospitals throughout the course of my life, that definitely has changed, but it makes sense, right? You know, walking into adulthood is not an easy journey, and we all get a little chip on our shoulder, maybe, so to speak, with life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, I feel like you really learned some, resilience, or maybe you were born that way, some resilience techniques from a very young age. And then, like you said, you witnessed some people who were not in a positive place. So you were able to like really take back your power there too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, when I went into law enforcement, and there was a lot of different reasons for stepping into that field. Definitely one, because I was trying to prove that I was stronger and the disease didn't define me. Growing up in Colorado, I was during the Columbine shooting era. So when we start talking about school shootings, it really influenced me to want to serve in that capacity and not allow that to happen again. You know, there's this fire that starts burning inside your core when you have people in your age group that are being murdered for no reason, right? And so you develop this idea of wanting to serve and give back. Also in high school, I was really influenced by our science teacher. I took a forensic entomology class, fell in love with it, super excited about that. That's what I wanted to do and be when I grew up, was a forensic entomologist. Well, that requires about 10 years of schooling, didn't want children, didn't plan on it. I was going to do this. This was going to be my career. And, my journey in health is such a vast one when it comes to doctors and things that were said. They told my mom that I wouldn't live to see 30. She told me that when I was 32, I think.
Ooh.
And they told me that I couldn't have children at 17 or 18 years old. And so I went off the birth control because I was sexually active. And I was like, well, why am I taking this birth control that has all these symptoms and side effects? And so I became pregnant at a very young age. So that drastically changed the course of life, as you can imagine.
Yes.
And the military wouldn't take me due to medical records. So that's why I chose law enforcement. I said, well, if forensic entomology isn't going to happen for me as far as the education standpoint, if it is more difficult for me to put the time into schooling and the mental capacity there, then law enforcement might be a route. So detective work is something that you can have some experience in if you want to pursue that. And so I figured if that interests me in the future when I'm an adult, then I can maybe access it this way. So that's what started my pursuit in that. And gaining power, when we talk about power, that was such an experience where when I went into the police academy, I had already had my third child. And so I wasn't young. I wasn't just, entering my 20s. I think I was 27 when I first got my first job. as a police officer. And so, you know, I was a little older and I was a woman. I had already had children. I wasn't like physically fit. You know, I'm not this ideal. And because of that, I pushed myself very, very hard. I was really wanting to stand up to be a part of that group. You know, when you step into a field like that, you are relied upon in so many ways. You don't want people looking at you and the men looking at you like, I don't want to be on the road with this person if they can't protect me and the people around them and sure. themselves. Mm-hmm. So it was this quest and desire to really do my best, be my best. And once I met that point, and you know, I was comparable, and you know, I started to outperform. It was like nothing I had ever experienced. So that was certainly taking power back. And a lot of the things that came up during my time as, you know, being in law enforcement, becoming into certain situations that were life-threatening and learning how I responded. Mm-hmm. I like to say that you don't rise to the level of your courage, but you fall to the level of your training. And we don't really know how we're mm-hmm. going to respond in a serious situation until we're met with it. And sure. then we get to learn, oh, wow, I responded in this incredible way. And I'm proud of myself for that.
Wow. You know what? I love your journey. I also like, thank you for sharing with us how you decided on law enforcement. Because I was curious about that. You know, I met you a few weeks ago and I was like, wait a minute, I need to know this. You know, how did you even get into that? Well, like you said, you had three kids too that you were, and then were you a single parent with that first one too?
Yes.
You were young.
I was very, very young. And yeah. her father was not ready. And so I really pushed that, that it just wasn't a good fit. It wasn't a good time. Mm-hmm. And he went off on a totally different course. And so my instincts were absolutely right. But yes, I was a very young single parent. My mom helped out a lot. I mean, my mom is an incredible person. She certainly influenced me in so many aspects of my life. And she's in the healthcare arena. So she serves, has always served, and she's always showed up. So she really gave me she taught me what it means to have pride, what it means to continue to work and always show up and do your best and really to serve others.
So you learned those, you had those values from a very young age.
Yeah.
Yes. Because you served so beautifully. How long were you in the law enforcement?
It wasn't long. I like to reckon it to dog years. If you're familiar with that. So, I spent, many, many years concentrating on the field, learning up on it, making sure my skills were up to date. But I didn't spend a ton of time boots on the ground. And that's because it wasn't a great fit for me. And so it wasn't because I didn't love the job, that I wasn't good at it, that I didn't have a passion for it. It just certainly wasn't the right agency fit for me at the time. Mm-hmm. And so when I moved out of that field and into something else, I've worn many hats. And I went into, I worked for FedEx Express. And so what I really loved about that and having boots on the ground there was it was actually one of the most difficult positions I've ever done. And it threw out law enforcement hands down with the challenges. I mean, you're talking not only being out in the elements, which you are in law enforcement as well, but it's this constant thing. And it's performance-based and it's time sensitive based. And so it has all of these things with having to really understand and perform mentally as well when we talk about roadmaps. So I've successfully done two of the top most dangerous jobs that we have in this earth. And driving and law enforcement is one of those. And so it really just shows how much I was always striving to show up otherwise, again, yes, outside of that disease and wanting to prove otherwise.
You know, yeah, that's really remarkable. What tips would you have to share with our audience here on how they can gain? Maybe they didn't suffer with a childhood illness like you did and have to overcome it, you know, but if they're facing a challenge in their life, you know, or in their business, what are some tips or you know, suggestions you have for them to kind of grab that resilience and get going?
Well, we all have our own challenges, right? And it's the way in which we perceive them. I think one of the biggest things and lessons that I've learned is that how we perceive and what we believe to be true. You know, because I've been in some of these top most dangerous positions, it wasn't that brought me the closest to death. But what has, and even outside of my autoimmune disease, what has brought me is all tied to emotion. And so when we consider stress is the number one killer, which is then tied to emotion, which is all of those reoccurring thoughts and the patterns and all of those things, that is something that we have control over when we put enough practice into it. And so learning how to quiet myself down, learning how to be still was one of the biggest lessons for me to really take back control and my power in that. So my recommendation is that it's lowering the stress. I first learned in law enforcement about breath techniques. And because you're put into a very dangerous situation very rapidly and you have to respond, you know, your motor skills are gone. And so your heart is pumping and it's racing. And so what does it do? It puts you naturally into the fight or flight. And so our bodies are pumped up so we can run and so we can fight. And when you're holding a weapon, it's really hard to be able to figure out what you're doing, right? When the blood is flowing in different directions. So you have to learn how to control that breathing very quickly in order to respond effectively when it comes to lives. Mm-hmm. And so that concept came at the forefront then, but it wasn't until I had some really big emotional life upheavals that I started putting that into practice for not something that needed an immediate response, but something where I was dealing with difficulties emotionally on the inside on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So meditation, breath work, just sitting with yourself and trying to be nothing, right? And just not thinking about anything. And of course, we all say, well, that's easier said than done, but it just takes practice. Again, you don't rise to the level of your courage, you fall to the level of your training. But the point is that's consistency.
Consistency. That's beautiful. You know, I teach a lot of those stress reduction techniques too, you know, because like you, I believe stress is the cause of all dis-ease, all imbalances. And it's the tools that we have. Right? The breathwork tool that you got, but you have such great training in the law enforcement too, and with your own health. And it feels like you've taken that now, April, and you pulled all that together and you're working with that with your performance coaching and your amazing, you know, podcast, your show. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, all of that really served you well. Isn't it so interesting how someone's background and everything they did, if you really think about it, and we can't know that until we're far enough ahead and you can look back, you know, that everything we did in our life serves us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you should never feel as if you didn't have certain opportunities or you didn't do certain things, because everything that we've done, collaboration, I don't know how to say that, but everything that we've experienced is valuable. It's so valuable because we are unique, and all of the things that we have gone through and experienced is our gift to the rest of the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know you're real positive. You see that too in people. Any regrets though? If you could start over again, is there something you would do differently?
Oh my gosh. Well, isn't that the thing that we're all striving to do, right? No regrets. And so You know, I think that it's easy to be able to fall back and say, yes, I have regrets here, I have regrets there. And like I mentioned before, it's you don't want to bring yourself to that thought process, because everything that we've experienced is something that we can turn into the gift of sharing our stories, where somebody can say, me too. And it's that relational piece where, you know, and having this sense of gratefulness, regardless of what has happened, because in what I believe is that it's our soul's journey is to go through difficult things, and it starts to correct us. And so it's that soul correction, right? When we go through hardships and difficulties in order to give us soul expansion and growth, we need to go through those.
Yes, absolutely. I love that kind of conversation, you know, because I'm brain soul success. So I definitely see that. You know, we do have to have those hard times, and those are times of transition, actually the times of the most growth.
Yeah.
And if we're like that perfectionistic person where we're really like headstrong in it and we can't let go, it's really just a message to let go. Like, let go, let God, whatever you believe in, you know, at that time, and persist, move through it.
Yeah. Persistence is key. I definitely believe that as long as we're being, you know, progressive and persistent in something, then we want to wake up and get out of bed in the morning. And, you know, this is a time that most of the world is kind of in this depressive state, right? When we're in the winter season of the year. And as long as we're working towards something and we're getting excited about some sort of growth or some sort of creative state that we're putting ourselves in, then it gives us that reason to want to get out of bed.
Absolutely. Yeah, people have to have a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, I found that people need a purpose to get well, especially if they're suffering with something, you know, especially a health issue. If they don't have a purpose, it's really hard to get well. You've got to be driven. I love your word driven. I think that was a really good word that you picked for your show for you, because that really describes, yeah, what you've done. You know, give us some tips on how you take care of your body and your health now.
Oh,
what does April do?
Thank you for asking. And so I was just having a conversation with my cousin this morning. She, her husband was murdered last year. And it's still fairly recent. And so she is, because that was something that was so sudden, unexpected, she's grieving heavily.
Yes.
And she told me, April, I'm not grieving in the right way or properly or however she said it. And I said that there is no right way, just like the stages of grief. We process it differently. We're going to be processing it in different times. It's not going to make sense or add up. There's going to be a memory or all of the things, and then it's going to be rehashed. And so, Louise, I'm going to have to go back to your question, because now I have forgotten what you asked me. Please
repeat me. That's okay, because you're talking about, no, I mean, like, what you're addressing your cousin's, you know, grief. And that's a really good conversation, too. There's going to be, you know, many people have lost, you know, we've lost. Yeah. I mean, and there was a lot of loss, of course, on the planet during COVID. You know, we also lost our freedom, you know, so that's an incredibly, you know, amazing, you know, juicy conversation there about what you just mentioned, that people are going to go through grief differently.
Absolutely. I remember what you asked me, and you asked me, what is it that I do? And my point around that was that we go through different seasons. So when you and I go into this lifestyle, health and wellness arena, I think that people see it as this perfection, striving for perfection based, or living a life that is flawless and we're healthy inside out constantly. But the truth is that we only meet those peak points in certain times of our life. And I believe very strongly that we're designed to do that. Just like I talked about our soul's journey, mm-hmm. we need to experience the difficult times in order to expand and grow that soul and to evolve into something greater. We have to have that contrast. It's the yin and the yang, the light and the dark.
Yes.
And so coming back to me, so I'm not avoiding the question, the things that I'm currently doing right now, most of this season for me is concentration on our business. It's mm-hmm. on the Wellness Driven Life Show. It's on Driven Living. It's mm-hmm. on creating our website, creating incredible products, creating incredible content to give back to the world, because our vision is very large. Mm-hmm. And so my season concentrates a lot on that. And because of that, my physical well-being is put a little bit on the sideline so we can concentrate on that. And because of that, I ensure that at least 3 to 5 times a week, I get outside. I go, we call it the mountain. It's not really a mountain, but it is this beautiful walking trail mm-hmm. in Texas. I'm from Colorado, so I am a mountain girl, uh-huh. but it's my haven away. And so nature is really, really important to me. It is a huge sense of who I am. I feel like that is a way to ground. And mm-hmm. because we can't get outside all the time, we use grounding mats and we partner with earthing products. And so that's a really lovely way to be able to at least reboost and recharge the batteries that we are. And most intentionally, it is sitting with myself in the morning. I talked a lot about being able to quiet yourself down, do meditation. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that I do every single morning. I also make sure that because I don't have a lot of time, it's easy for me to be, you know, interviewing so many people and on the computer a lot. So I pre-prep what we call a salad box, and it is kale and so red kale, red onion, red bell pepper, and red cabbage. Ah. And so we pre-prep that, we put it in this big box and it's easy to grab. And so we're making sure that we have the greens and nutrition that we need to fuel our bodies. So those are just a few things that I integrate. When I am at my peak, uh-huh. it is definitely encompassing so much more, really to include body strength and maintenance, and sleep is very, very important, water, but mm-hmm. there's definitely the buckets that I find the most important. And so that was
beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And I love your kale box. I mean, people get tips and, you know, tips from everyone, right? We learn from other people. That's what's so beautiful about podcasting, you know, is the stories and how much we can learn from others and really connect with others and connect with their story. Well, you're certainly finding ways to keep yourself healthy and balanced when you're so busy with your performance coaching and your show and everything that you're doing in your life. Give us some highlights of that. Tell us a little bit about your performance coaching, what you like to do there.
Thank you. So I'm a certified hypnotherapist. And so with my performance coaching, it really involves that piece of deep relaxation technique. I don't believe that you can really go anywhere until you start to do that. Again, mm-hmm. when we talk about overall well-being and wholeness and wellness, mm-hmm. We can't get there. And when we talk about going to a next level, you have to be in a creative state. The only way that we get to our creative state is by that heart-brain coherence, which is only met by deep relaxation and being able to quiet all the noise. And so I take my clients to that. I love it. When I have a client and I have a meeting the next day, I am like jumping out of bed. I can hardly sleep. And the reason being is because if you can picture somebody that has lived a lot of life, a hard life, which we all have in some capacity or form, and you bring them to a deep, relaxed state mm-hmm. and you see their body melt and all of their facial expressions melt and they go into this beautiful, childlike peace. I've never seen anything like it before. It's the most beautiful thing. And that's what I love about it. It's just serene. It's incredible. And that is how I give back. And it's just incredible. It's extraordinary.
It's awesome. You're perfect for that. Like, so perfect for hypnotherapy. I could just totally see it. That is absolutely awesome. So you're doing such great work in the world. You know, you transformed your life. You transformed your business. I love your focus. Can you guys tell right here how focused and persistent April is? So, you know, some really amazing, you know, values here that you can take from this. Is that resilience, that persistence, your beautiful focus. And it sounds like you figured out how to balance your life. You know, like you're working hard now. I get it. You're talking Thank about you. This season of work, but you get up and you meditate. You have some really good habits mm-hmm. that you consistently do. And that's really important. Yeah. It's really important for an entrepreneur to do that.
It is. And yeah it's definitely keeping the consistency in that. And for me, one of the biggest lessons is compassion with myself. I want to strive to be at this point. I always want everything now, and I want to be here now, and I want to be this now. And if I had that mentality and I allowed myself to stay in that feeling, I would not progress. I wouldn't have started the talk show because I'm this much overweight and not taking as much care of my body physically. If I allowed myself to go there and to stay there, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And that's a big message that I like to share with people, is that having compassion for yourself wherever you are in life is so vital. And you know, it's okay. And when we know that, it's so much easier to put the next step forward.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. Absolutely. Hey, if you were going to leave us with one brain tip, what would it be?
Ooh, brain tip.
A brain tip.
Oh, yeah. Well, reading.
Reading,
constantly okay. learning. So much, with my precision coaching and with our programs that we have, Zip Life Slowly, Spiritual, Intellectual, Physical, the intellectual piece is a lot to have to do with learning. And, you know, so I've had Tom Ziegler, who came on the show. He talked about his father, Zig Ziglar, and something yes. that he did every single day. So he acclaimed his success to, he spent, I don't even remember how many hours. I made a short out of it because it's brilliant. But every single morning he read. And when he took in that knowledge, he applied it and he shared it with the world. And that was his gift. And that's how he did the incredible things that he did. So
read cool.
a book.
Read
Listen
a book.
To a podcast.
I love that. That's really, really awesome. Oh my gosh. Thank you for that amazing tip. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your story today. How can people get in touch with you? Tell us about your show, how they can access that, April.
Thank you so much. The Wellness Driven Life Show. It is accessible on many different platforms. So not only do we stream live Monday through Friday on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, you can find us, the handles at the Wellness Driven Life Show. And then our mothership company is Driven Livin'. So www.drivenlivin.com. And I'm very excited about that, as you can see, because I just rebuilt our website and it's really beautiful. At least I think so. It's kind of this lovely project that I had going, and not without trial and error. My gosh, all of this entrepreneurship is a fire hose to the face and learning so much along the way. So yes. when you visit our website, www.drivenlivin.com. We also are very, very proud to produce to the public our first ebook, and it's called The Hug Book. And so what that is it's all of this different science-backed information on why hugging yourself is so powerful. It's just another tool in your tool belt. Like, when we talk about techniques that we can do to help calm ourselves down, to have that compassion for ourselves and to reflect on that self-love and self-care, it's just another tool in the tool belt, you know, for that. So we're really excited to be able to do that. That puts you on our email list, and then you get more insight on what we're doing and the guests that we have on our show.
Oh, I love that. I just love that. You're doing such great work in the world. And again, thank you so much for being with us today. And you guys definitely want to check out April's wellness-driven life show and her new project and see her new website. So thank you so much again. And remember, everyone, follow your heart, but take your brain with you.
Thank you.